If you love me, show it by doing what I have told you. I will talk to the Creator, and God will provide you with another friend so that you will always have someone with you. A friend is the spirit of truth. The godless in the world can't take it in because they don't have the eyes to see it, and they don't know what to look for. But you know it already because it has been staying with you, even in you. I will not leave you orphaned. Let's stop for a second and hear that again. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming back. And in just a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you're going to see me because I am alive. And you are about to come alive. And at that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in my Creator, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, those are the ones who love me. And the person who loves me will be loved by God, and I will love them and make myself plain to them. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Powerful stuff. Now, you know, I've been saying for a long time, the Gospel of John for me is difficult to deal with, especially in the traditional sense that everybody wants to call it a gospel. Because I will, once again, I'm concerned, it's not a gospel. It's a written apology for the divinity of Christ. And so the author puts together most of this stuff that's in there to remind us that Jesus is God. It's where, for those of you who are history buffs, where Trinitarian theology gets its start. Okay? And for the exegetical part of the lesson today, bear with me, Mom. I know you hate it when I read, but this is the exegesis of today's reading. This is what scholars call John's departure discourse. He quotes Jesus preparing the disciples for the future when he will be no longer with them. Sediment, if nothing else, demands that we regard these as Jesus' words, but they have been filtered through the prism of John's mind and 6 decades of the old tradition of the apostolic church. The clue to this is the Greek word, and I apologize to those who know Greek and I mispronounce this, but it's parakletos, I believe, is translated variously as advocate, counselor, and comforter. It appears here in this reading, in verse 26, in the chapter 16, verse 17, and again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. The word describes the role of the Holy Spirit. The point being made, of course, that it is instead of having Jesus' physical presence to guide us in discipleship, they will always have the Spirit as his personal indwelling presence. The Spirit's function is identical of that with Jesus himself. Now, I got to tell you, folks, that's a little different twist on the Holy Spirit than what we get with some folk, is it not? Amen? You know, some folk that, you know, want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and all of those kinds of things and the snake handling and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes in our churches and in our traditions, we get carried away. This is a very simple, yet very important piece of what John is trying to say to us. And that is that Jesus was telling the disciples and us, look, I am about to be taken from you. But understand, while I may be gone, I'm not lost. I am there with you. What an important message that was. Because see, that's why the scholars call this the departure discourse. Because Jesus was preparing folks for the time that they wouldn't be able to see him physically. And I told you this tied into Mother's Day, especially for those of us who have lost our mothers, because there is no truer statement about how our moms react to us, you know? Amen? Mm. I know that one of the things people told me is when my mom was dying, they were quick to remind me, look, when your mom's gone, you can talk to her anytime you want. You will feel her presence. And that's true, I do, especially when I'm feeling somewhat guilty. And those of you around me know why I'm feeling guilty this morning, right?
Yeah, your haircut.
Yeah. Need a haircut. And that would be the first thing that she would say. It would not matter what I preached about this morning, but that phone call would come and ask, when are you getting your hair cut? Amen.
Either that or put it in a ponytail.
There are things we remember about our moms that remind us they are still there. After she died and I gathered some of her belongings that were coming to my house, I made sure that at least in my house, when you walk through my house, there's a little bit of my mom in every room. In our living room, you know, is the flag from her being a veteran, plus a couple of Egyptian wine bottles from her cruises over in Europe. You come into the dining room and there's a handmade cuckoo clock that reminds you of her with every hour that it cuckoos. Amen?
And it works.
And Billy's got his curio cabinet filled with the crystal that my mother so lovingly collected and then made sure she passed on to him. You walk into my study, there's a picture of her when she graduated out of boot camp in the Navy. There's a puzzle that her and my sister put together of the 50 states and all the different baseball stadiums, because my mom was an incredible baseball fan. She went to her grave with the Seattle Mariners tattooed to her ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could do those same kinds of things, folks, to remember your moms, to give honor to your mom. And even if they're still alive, you can still do that. Make sure there's a piece of your mom everywhere you go. We know that it is difficult for some people because their relationship with their mom was not good. And I understand that. And I don't mean to try to take you down an alley that is going to be difficult. But as I said at the beginning of the service, remember this. If they did nothing else, your mom gave birth to you. And you get to be whatever person you choose to be, because it was in that birth that we know what? That God created you wonderfully and uniquely in God's image. One of the greatest cartoons, or at least one of my favorite cartoons, is Calvin and Hobbes. You all here, you know, like Calvin and Hobbes? His imaginary tiger, amen? I can relate to that, because when I was a kid, I had an imaginary kangaroo that was with me until I left for college, believe it or not. But anyway, Calvin and Hobbes, there's this one panel where Calvin comes walking into the living room one morning. His mother is sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, getting ready for the day. And she looks up and there's Calvin. And Calvin is dressed a little differently in this panel. He's got a helmet on and he's got one of those Christmas wrapping tubes that no longer has wrapping on it, and he's got a big old flashlight and a cape.
Superhero.
Pair of shorts. And his mother just kind of looks at him and she goes, Calvin, what is that? What's up today? And Calvin goes, nothing so far. So far, she says. Well, you never know, Calvin says. Something could happen today. And then he goes marching off the scene. And Mom looks straight into the audience that's reading the panel. And she says, I need a suit like that. That's what our mothers give us, is that suit. That is what God has given us with the Holy Spirit. A suit that allows us to be ready for anything. At any time, anywhere. Wow. The connection between Mother's Day and the reading of this is incredible. I know that some of you sometimes get this idea that God has forgotten about you. Amen? I won't mention any names, James. But, Paul, there are people that just think because of the challenges in their life that God is off somewhere else. Let me help you with that. Reverend Dr. Billy Strayhorn, who, by the way, is the father of one of my best friends in clergy, Charlotte Strayhorn, who's a writer for Whosoever, he gave this illustration and story one time when he said that a person from his church, Mia Stelzel, was a member of Mount Hope United Methodist Church in Ashton, Pennsylvania, and she was trying to put her three-year-old down to sleep. She wasn't being very successful. The three-year-old didn't want to take a nap. So finally she gave up and she put the three-year-old in bed with her and she laid down to take a nap, right? And when she woke up, she saw him sitting in a chair at the end of the bed, just looking at her. And she said, "Luke, what are you doing?" And he responded, "I'm playing God."
Keeping you safe.
And his mother sat up and said, "Playing God?" And he said, "Yes, I was watching after you while you slept." Wow. You're never alone, folks. Even while you sleep, God is looking after you. Know that when you wake, God is there to receive you. My goodness, how Mother's Day and this reading tie together. There's one thing that wasn't mentioned in this reading that I want to remind you about today as we wrap up, and that is the idea that you remember that Jesus told us that he gives us peace. Not like the world gives us, but peace. That is what happens when you know that God is looking after you. That is what happens when you follow the teachings of Christ. Peace, Jesus said, I leave with you my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. And do not, this morning, let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Now you can read between the lines of these words, because the new covenant that Jesus gives us is not of this land. It is a covenant of his blood. It is not a covenant of nation building. Listen to me closely now. It is not a covenant of nation building. It is a covenant of relationship building. He is telling his disciples and all of us, you no longer live on the land. You live on love. You no longer work for the nation. You work for your neighbor. You no longer are under the law. You are under grace. You no longer act out of fear, but you serve out of joy. Happy Mother's Day.
I forgot to get ready.